Jonathan, hosting for Bagel Tech Photo is provided by UK2.net. Web hosting for everyone. Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Bagel Tech Photo. I am Plumage, filling in for Plumage this week, and it's great to be back on the show. Love you guys. Chuckle, chuckle, chuckle.
Have you done some prep this week, Kyle?
Have I done what?
Some preparation.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, no, I have. I've read everything to great detail, and I know in the end it's not going to help me.
No.
No, you never will. It's great to be back, though. Had a good Thanksgiving. Had good news over the Thanksgiving, so I'm all hyped for... I'm all hyped till I can't be hyped anymore. Let's just put it that way. We got a great show for you guys today, and we've got the staple panel is back. Starting off, Chris Forsman, Chicago, Oprah Territory. How are you doing there, Chris?
Super fantastic.
Super duper. All right. How's your Thanksgiving?
I ate a lot. I drank even more. So, you know, it was great.
Did you drink you and under the table, though? That's the question.
I don't know. I don't
think
know.
You could, Ewan?
I don't know, mate. I'm a bit of a pussy now.
I'm really? Just saying. I'll
20 I'll pints, I'm under I'll the table.
What time is it in the afternoon there?
It's 10 past two.
I don't think you're a pussy then.
It's Friday. It's Christmas. What can I do?
He hasn't finished from last night yet.
That is Ewan Rankin. Ewan, how are you?
Good, pal. I've worked today, this week. That was twice.
Sweet.
Very happy.
Good deal. Yeah. Well, doesn't it get a little bit more busy, though, around Christmas?
Nope. Gets worse. I've got until about the 15th, and after the 15th, I'll be doing sod all till the 15th. Of the following month.
Oh, January.
Yeah.
Out of month.
Yeah. Month with no income. Standard.
Right, well, on that depressing note, we'll switch it over to Alex G. Fox. How have you been working this week? And are you up till January 15th?
Well, I've made my December money already. Been a very good December so far, and we've only had one day.
Good lad.
Good for you. Not bad at all. Good week, though, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, if it carries on like this, I'll buy you a new computer.
Mate, buy me a proper Mac so I can do the video properly and all that kind of crap.
Yeah, long may it continue.
Yeah, we shall hold you to that, Alex. Definitely, we will. Merry Christmas from you. Thank you very much. The week in photography news that it is and that it shall be. We're going to start off with this one. I hope you've at least seen this, Chris. So, maybe you can have a reading over it first. Something that we're all going to bitch about here, and because it's good to bitch, why not? Camera Shop is charging $30 for explanation fee for its, or it needs an explanation for its fee for its handling charges of cameras.
Uh huh.
This is a bunch of crap, don't you think?
I mean, I'm going to say my first reaction was it's a bunch of crap, but. I worked at a camera shop for 10 years, and I get where this guy's coming from.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is the best solution, but it's not the best solution. Let's be frank. It's not the best solution. But I get why he's doing it. Because I mean, I've even heard people tell other people, go down to Barry's camera shop. It's shop I used to work at in Indiana. Go down to Barry's camera shop, try all the cameras out, and then go order it on Amazon for, you know, or go order it on B&H for X number of dollars cheaper.
I mean, that's
like a kick in the balls. I mean, it's like a kick in the balls.
It is.
It's
the reason why CD shops aren't around anymore, too.
Well, people are stupid because they don't realize that that's going to cost them in the long term because they're not going to get that facility in the long run because the camera shop's going to fold because no one buys anything from it. But I always, if I'm buying anything new lens, I'll either go and try it in a shop or I'll go and hire it from Calumet and use it for a period of time and then go back. But I'll also have a conversation with them that says, hang on, it's you're 500 quid more expensive than it is on Warehouse Express. And they'll say, well, yeah, but, you know, we're not buying 30,000 at one go. Okay, But I'm not suggesting for 1 second you're going to get a 500 quid deal on that. You're humping me here. So let's talk about price. And I don't need you to come back down to Warehouse Prices Express. I don't need to do a price match because I value the service you've given me. I'm just not going to let you bend me over, which some camera shops do, to be fair. I'm not saying Calumet do, but what I'm saying, that happens. You go into some shops and they will charge you a rate which is more than significantly over the online price. And if they've taken the time to show me the unit and have a play with it, I will go back and try and buy it from them. But if they want to bend me over, they can get stuffed.
Well, Alex, the man of a million cameras, where do you normally buy? Do you buy online or do you go to the shop? Let's put it this way. Be honest. Have you went to a shop before, tried something out, and said, screw you, it's much cheaper on Amazon?
Right. You're on the absolute honest, unreserved truth.
Yeah.
Now, I've never done that with anything ever in my entire life because I completely and utterly disagree with it. You know, I mean, right, if you take cameras, for instance, I shop at Calumet, same place as Ewan does. And the expertise I get from them, you know, it's worth as much as the camera sometimes.
Mm.
You know, they've got a living to make. Those shops won't be there forever if people don't buy the stuff from there. You know, okay, all right, Ewan uses the example, they're £500 more expensive. Maybe that's... they can come down a little bit on that. But, you know, Amazon, they're not paying for warehouse. They're not paying for staff. They're not paying for expertise. They're not paying for shops. They're not paying for any of this sort of stuff, which is why you're going to the shop, because you're going to speak to someone with 20 years experience because they've worked in a shop, they've looked at the cameras, they've spoken to people. You may as well just go and buy it from a catalogue company and take your chances. You know, you get what you pay for, and I think it's incredibly short-sighted of people to think that, you know, I can save a few bob here. Well, yeah, save the few bob here and there, but then before long there won't be anywhere for you to get any expertise from at all. Right. But not just with cameras, with anything.
No, I mean, I think I think we're agreeing on that point, Alex, that you can't walk into a shop, strip their brains, and walk away and go and buy it online. But I will also say, when I've gone to Calumet and I've asked them for a price on something, they come down in price very quickly.
No, I don't disagree. And, I mean, I'm an account holder with these people, so I tend to get a different rate than the walking off the street price anyway. But, you know, if they make an extra £500 on somebody, then that partly, in a funny way, contradicts what I said, because that might be why they can afford to give me the rate that they do as an account holder.
Mm.
So, you know, we're all cutting off our own noses despite our faces if we don't buck our ideas up. But again, this guy and anyone else that does this, you know, it's the same as a plumber. The plumber will come round, he'll fix your boiler for £200. But if you get a new boiler installed, he'll knock that £200 off the bill. You know, and it's the same with this guy.
Yeah. If this guy's saying, when you buy any camera, I'll give you $30 back, I agree entirely.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. I'm not sure it's the right way of going about it, but I agree with the ethic. I think we should start a new campaign. We'll have a little logo in the bottom corner of the screen here that says "Support your local camera shop," but then in brackets afterwards, you say, "But don't let them hump you."
Yeah, I think the phrasing might need working on.
But yeah, I'm not a copywriter, am I? I'll do the visuals.
The sentiment is there.
Yeah,
though,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about it on the program for the longest time, support your camera shops. But at the same time, I'm looking at this, I see the moral value behind it. I think anybody that does go in and basically says, thank you very much, I used your service and got nothing for it, or gave you nothing for it, and then go and buy it somewhere. Yeah, that's a moral conscience. But I don't know if we're living in that society anymore. And I think a lot of people that are looking at this right now saying, they're already saying right now, well, screw you. It's sad to say that. But I mean, Chris, I mean, do you feel that that's a world we're living in now?
Yes and no. I mean, I think it's just like Ewan said, people just don't understand that they're screwing themselves if they do that. Because, you know, I mean, even a couple of years down the road, that camera shop might not be there anymore. Then what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Then who are you going to hassle for an hour trying out three different Nikons before you go and spend all your money on B&H Alex. Or whatever, you know, like.
You hassle Alex. No, sorry, you're making a decent comment. Go on.
Well, I feel like I made my point.
Yeah, no, I think the thing is, if you went in and you clearly said to them, I mean, I've got a classic that I keep telling everyone, when you go to look for a camera, go to your local camera shop, take an SD card with you or a compact flash card, put it in the camera, take a shot with it, take it back home and analyze it 100% in Photoshop and look at the clarity that you're getting, look at the image quality that you're getting, and then go back and buy it from them. But if you stood there before and say, look, this is what I want to do, if it's what I like, I will come back and buy it from you. If they then say, well, it's $30 for you to take that image and we'll give it you back when you buy it off us, I'm not sure what I'd do at that point. But there's a point in the chat room where Russ is saying, you know, £500 extra, that sounds a little bit extreme. When I bought my 1DS Mark II, the price difference between online and Calumet was nearly £1,000. So
probably.
Yeah.
That sounds about right. Mm. Because you're talking about, a lot of the online dealers, they're not just getting bigger discounts from the manufacturers either. I mean, they're getting gray market stuff, or there's all kinds of other things going on with some of the bigger ones. Like B&H, for instance, in New York, they'll tell you straight out, you can buy the official Canon one with a warranty and everything for this much, or you can buy the gray market one for this much less. So they're pretty upfront about it, but some of the other places aren't. They'll just sell you a gray market product with no warranty of any kind, yeah, or a store warranty, which is a total hassle to deal with.
To me, Chris, though, that says it right there. Isn't it nice and reassuring to go when you go into a store and you buy something to know where you can go and take that back?
Yeah.
Amazon and these kind of places, yeah, they have great return policies all in all. But there's a lot of times there's a lot of screw ups. They don't get your item. They say you never shipped it. You didn't read the fine print, blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, blah. This stuff happens all the time. So I like that assurance. That to me right there, I don't know about £500. But definitely if I'm paying 100 or £150 or dollars more, that's definitely worth it.
I mean, that's a patchy statement though, Kyle, because mm-hmm. I mean, there's times when I've gone online and you ring up and they say, yeah, sure, here's an RMA number, send it back and we'll send you a new one. Or they'll take a credit card and they'll send you a new one. It'll cross post with you in 30 days or something. And then you go back into stores and they'll say, yeah, okay, well, we'll send it back to Canon. I only bought it 2 days ago and it's broken. No. I want a new one. I want my money back. No. Mm-hmm. We'll send it back to Canon, see what they say, and then we'll talk about what to do next. No, hang on. I've got protected rights here. We're not going to do that. And you've got online protection for 10 days under the distance selling regulations, which you haven't got if you walk into a shop, which is a real disgrace.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I can't speak specifically to U.S. law versus U.K. law or anything, but I mean, I can just say that personally, from the, you know, I only worked at one camera shop, so that's the basis I have. But we wouldn't do that. If it was a couple of days like that, we would just swap it out, and then we would make Canon deal with it.
Not everyone's the same, but I mean, one of the things, the point is that in the UK, we've passed legislation to deal with the new internet purchasing phenomenon, mm-hmm. but the legislation that we've got for walking into a shop gives the consumer no protection. So actually, if I'm looking at buying something that's A, very expensive, B, likely to get damaged and maybe have errors in a short space of time, logically, lawfully, I'm far better off buying it online than I am going into the store as well as.
Not true, though, but we're getting off our subject.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Slightly, you know.
Fair enough.
Because we're talking about buy it online or buy it in a shop. What we're telling you to do, if you go play with it in the shop, buy it in the shop, or they're going to disappear.
It's fair. I feel like it's fair.
It's fair.
Gordon Jackson in the chat room just said, what up, chaps? I've just turned over from Jeremy Kyle. I hope this is better. I'm going to boot you, dude. I'll block you and ban you. Get off. Of course it's better than Jeremy Kyle. No one's pregnant on this one. Chris,
you get a boot?
I've taken a DNA test. I am your father.
Let's go on to the next story, guys. Great discussion, though. Support your camera shops, people. This is the concept thing that's coming out. Talked about it. Something that I'm definitely in love with. I'd love to see this. It's definitely the Apple thing. The iCam is kind of what they're calling this. Now, we've heard Steve in the afterlife now basically said that he wanted to get in to making camera. He thought Apple could make a great camera. And this concept, is it's actually at 9to5mac.com. You can check it over there. It's called iCam. It is essentially what looks like an iPhone 5 concept with a camera concept, and you plug the phone into the camera. It has a huge lens on the front. To me, and I'm going to go to you, Ewan, because you wrote an article this week over at, I forget where it is.
PCPro.co.uk.
PCPro. Yeah. And about the disappearance of compact cameras because of camera phones. Couldn't this do it? Something like this.
This is an April Fool's joke early. I mean, this thing's nowhere near real.
Well, no, it's not real.
It's not Apple's. It's not Apple's concept, though. It's some prat who's got a who's got a washing up liquid bottle and a cornflakes packet. This is what Apple could be working on. Okay, but it's probably further from the truth than you realistically know. I don't believe this is it's certainly not a blurry cam shot. This has been set up in a studio. I like the idea of them being able to do this. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not sure it's going to happen. I think sticking your iPhone into something is not in the Jobs-esque way. You even look at the pictures that are on rotation in the little flash thing at the bottom.
They're awful.
And they're crap. And also the fact, the user interface that's appearing on the iPhone, allegedly, is actually just a picture of the back of a Canon 5D. I just don't see that Jobs would do anything whereby you would have to take his device and shove it into something else. He would make the device that would look really cool and would do the job. Now, are they going to get decent optical zoom out of an iPhone? Best of luck, but I'm not sure that's coming in the next 5 years. Are they going to get a higher quality image at 12 megapixel out of iPhone? Well, according to the sensor that went on today from, Sony Ericsson, yes it is, because there's a very high quality 12 megapixel sensor that will fit in a cell phone that's come out from them, gone through FCC. So the specs that are on this story, I believe fully they could achieve, but they're not going to stick something on the end of it.
You just don't think Apple would do something like this?
No. I mean, he's all about the purity of the product, the art of the lines of the product, the way it feels in your hand. He's not going to risk shoving it into a third party into something else. There we go.
Expensive. Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
I think that thing is retarded. I couldn't believe everybody's just like, oh, how cool would this be if this thing was real? I'm like, it would not be cool at all. Just buy a camera.
Yeah.
You could just get a camera like this.
I mean,
just buy it.
Based on relative size, you're up past the low end Nikons and the Ixus, the Elf.
Yeah. if you're gonna carry that thing in your pocket, just get a camera.
Well, you do have a point. How about you, Million Man Cameraman?
Sugar Daddy.
Well, I've got this. It's just a. Why even bother with this? I mean, absolutely, why bother with it? Why buy something smaller with a better lens and a better sensor for an eighth of the price? Yeah. Does that sum it up?
Well, I mean, when has Jobs ever gone onto the stage and gone, and one more thing, here's an attachment? Never happened.
Here's a thing jam on the end.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's funny about it, though? I think you're all wrong.
Oh, come on. Come on, Mr. Insider. What have you got?
I don't think that's funny at all.
Another 20 bucks. Come on.
I don't have any inside information whatsoever. But I think this is something. I mean, you talk about, first and foremost, Jobs isn't there anymore. It's unfortunately he's not on the earth anymore. But he's not in control anymore. I could see Apple going into a camera this way. Simply for the fact that we talk about, why wouldn't you want something to stick in there? Well, why not? We're starting to have Siri. We're starting to have it integrated with this and this and that and that and that and this. Your phone is becoming an extension of something.
Yeah, and but it's not altering the form factor, is it? The whole point of an iPhone is it's a box so big by so big that does lots of little things. The moment you quadruple the size of it to become something that you can pay a quarter of the money for and have five times the quality at, you could go and buy a compact camera for £150, which would have a better sensor, a better lens, be half the weight, do everything this thing does, and the battery will last 6 months. Why
would
you want to do this?
Well, I mean, there's good points in the chat room here. Why Dirty Boxes is saying, why would Apple do this camera? Where's the upsell via iTunes and all the other stuff that goes along? It looks a bit clunky for Apple, says Dave. A little bit overcooked. Plus, where are the additions that you can make on a standard phone iPod to do this anyway? Says Lee again. It's just not Apple. It's not Apple-esque. Should, do you want $20 on this, Carl?
I don't know. No, $5 right now. $2. $2. I mean, I agree. I'm looking at the picture. It looks like crap. But it, I think the concept is there, and I could actually see Apple doing something like this, particularly in the post-Jobs era now, for some reason. Call me crazy. You called me crazy with the TV. We're getting that next year.
You're crazy.
Thank you.
I'm just calling you crazy.
We still haven't got the TV yet. Your books aren't safe.
I said next year. I said
next May next year. Yeah, that's true.
Yep. That's right. So
is that May next year?
No.
No, that's May next year. Okay. All right. Let's move on to a real camera now before I dig myself a deeper hole. Last thing we're going to talk about this week is the Pentax 645D. The review came out this week. This is a 40 million pixel medium format digital camera.
Megapixel, you remember.
Megapixel, yeah. And I think what they're actually highlighting on this thing, though, is it's more for, again, the camera integrating with the film, you know, with people doing video now on their cameras. And it's not cheap by any means. We're looking at about 9,000 pounds for a Pentax here, mind you. Are you feeling the love, Chris? I mean, is this worth, to see 9,000 pounds, that's about what in dollars? That's about 4,000?
12, about 11,000, yeah. About $11,000.
$11,000, okay. Chris, are you going to cough up $11,000 for a Pentax?
Well, here's what I would say. If I had $11,000 to cough up, I would do it in a heartbeat. Okay.
You would.
I don't have $11,000 to cough up because I don't make that much money.
Well, hang on, Chris, because at this kind of level, and I don't know what the US prices are on Hasselblad, but you can buy a Hasselblad for $10,000 in the UK. Would you buy a Pentax over a Hasselblad?
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Woo!
I mean, really? I had a 645 AF.
Yeah.
Back in the day, so I'm intimately familiar with the camera, at least the mechanical side of it, the handling.
Yeah, you've got history.
Yeah, we've got history.
You go way back.
It's love. I even still have some compatible equipment like flashes and things. So.
It's a love thing.
It is a love
thing. Ow!
Don't tease Chris, Ewan.
Of course I'm teasing Chris. That's what the show's about, teasing Chris.
Well, obviously you're a Hasselblad man, so you're not giving Pentax.
I'm not a Hasselblad man. Christ, the only thing I've ever done with a Hasselblad is drool on it.
Right.
But I'm just suggesting that as a general market spec, if you've got a Pentax 645D at 10 grand and you've got the low-end Hasselblad at 10 grand, unless you're really chock full of Pentax lenses, I can't say you're going to pick a Pentax. I've never shot with either of them, so I don't know, but I would want to shoot with either of them before I bought a 10 grand camera, but I'm not sure I would definitely exclude the Hasselblad. I think the Hasselblad would be a huge pull if it had a like-for-like image. Alex, what about you, mate? Because you're looking quizzical.
I've played with these. I've used these. Well, the older Pentax. I've used Hasselblad. I don't know where you found a £10,000 Hasselblad.
They released it. No, we covered it a few months back. There was a £10,000 Hasselblad. The low-end Hasselblad got released, didn't it? 40 megapixels, 10 grand, yeah. It was 10 grand.
Is it 40 megapixel?
I think it was 40.
I don't think it was 40.
It was 30, I think. But yeah, I mean, that relative price. The only thing I'd say with this is the Hasselblad is probably a better body. But for every lens you're going to buy for the Hasselblad, it's going to cost you twice what every lens for this Pentax is going to cost you.
Good boy.
I've used these cameras and, you know, they are studio cameras. They're the sort of thing that I would use. I don't care about the speed of the camera. I don't necessarily care about low light. There's a lot of things that don't matter to me, and this will give you an incredibly not just the fact that it's 40 megapixels, the actual details for every one of them pixels is so crisp and so sharp. It's, you know, if you shoot one of these and then you shoot with even your top of the range Canon or even the top of the range Nikon, you will look at the picture and you go, you know, that Pentax is far superior. The actual quality is just so much better. Mm-hmm. The only trouble is now with photography, the way it is, there's going to be a few fashion companies that will buy one or two of these and maybe the odd museum or something that buy one of these. But, you know, there's not an awful lot of money in the type of photography that warrants buying one of these cameras. The money is in the point-and-shoot high-end SLR cameras. So it's a lovely bit of kit. If they could find a way of bringing it down to just get a bit closer to maybe the top-end Nikon and Canon, then you're really talking
about market change. 6,000 or 7,000, you'd take it?
Oh, I would rip their arm off it for 6,000 or 7,000, really.
Yeah.
It is so much superior. And I'm sure people have disagreed, but I've used both, and I've used them both in the circumstances that I need them in, where I control the lighting, I control basically everything about it, and the output for this is so much. It's as close to a transparency as I've ever seen.
Good. Yeah, I know. I gotta say, at 7,000, I'd be tempted.
I wouldn't take it to the rugby.
No, I don't think I'm going to get a 2.8 lens for it. That's 300 mil.
700. I'm there.
$70. I'll do it in a heartbeat.
Woo! Yeah. You probably right. That's called remote. Christmas on a budget.
You could get a remote called for $700.
Hey, I didn't say it has to say. I didn't say it had to say Pentax. It could be Pentex.
You could probably get that in the Philippines, right?
Yeah, probably.
There's a question from the chat room from Russ. This may seem like a stupid question, but if you wanted to, could you use that as a point and shoot?
Yes.
Yeah.
You could. I guarantee there'd be an automatic setting. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
There'll be a priority setting at the very least.
I think you won't get a full auto where it picks the ISO for you. I think you'll get priority.
That'll do.
No, the program.
Program
setting, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, if you've got the money to use this as a point and shoot, come and have a drink with me anytime you like. we'll have a chat.
Russ is saying, right, I'm ordering one then. And Jordan's saying, 7,000 for a frigging camera. I've stumbled into another world. There we go. That's true, mate. There are people on this planet. That we are not on this planet. That's true.
Does anyone remember how much Nikon F5 costs when it was new?
Alex would.
Well, I'll have a look at my receipts.
Go on.
How much was it, Chris?
I've never bought a Nikon, so no.
I mean,
it wasn't cheap.
Yeah, it wasn't cheap at all. It was a couple $1,000 when it was new.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Back in 1940. Should we do some questions? Based on the fact I don't want Andy and Natko to ring in while we're still talking.
We'll cut it to... What? Hello?
We're going to skip the 910?
No, we're going to skip a lot, okay. Unfortunately. But we'll put it in next week's show. We're going to do two questions this week, guys.
Should we miss out question one? Because question one is, would we have any crap for Christmas for cameras?
Yeah.
So what we'll do is, next week... we'll come back with our picks, and we'll give you our, here's our top 10 cameras to buy each.
Yep.
And we'll all pick 10 cameras, yeah?
Yep.
Cameras for granny, cameras for auntie, cameras for sister, cameras for the kids. Yeah.
Cameras for Alex.
That'll do. Right. Two questions.
All right.
And if we do the two questions and we only give one answer, then we'll go back to the story. Right. Off we go.
Please stop confusing me. First question comes from Kim. It says, hello, Kyle, Chris, Alex, and Ewan. I've been a listener for 8 months now. Thank you, Kim, and loving the show. I recently finally decided that I'm going to get a macro lens and starting to try and learn macro photography. Firstly, can you guys give me any key things to look for in a macro lens? And secondly, any top tips for getting great images? Alex, we'll start with you.
Okay. Well, macro lenses, you've got two different types, really. You've got fixed macro, which they tend to be slightly sharper, you know, a 50mm macro lens. If you want to do static macro photography, close-up stuff, I would probably go for a fixed macro lens, because the zoom macro lenses, they promise a lot, but to be honest, unless you pay an awful lot of money, they don't really deliver. Fixed macro lens, you can start about £150 to £200 for a nice, you know, 50-60mm macro lens. You know, that'll do you fine, in fact. You can get them for most mounts. Like I said, I'd steer clear of the zoom macro lenses myself, even though I do own one. But I know to steer clear of them because the one I own is rubbish. Whereas the other thing about macro lens photography is soft lighting always works really well. When you're very close to something and you've got sort of hard shadows on it, it really can mess up what you're trying to achieve. So sort of soft box lighting with macro lenses is always a really nice way to go. I'm sure the others have got more interesting and insightful things than me to say.
Yeah, how about you, Chris?
I was just going to say the thing to think about, and there are a couple new, I know Nikon has a new pretty inexpensive macro lens. It's really nice. Tamron makes a 60 millimeter that's specifically for the lower end SLRs that have the APS-C type sensors. Those are good lenses. The thing, I guess, kind of the tip I was going to suggest is that the longer the macro lens you can afford, that gives you more working distance with your subject. So the shorter the focal length, the physically closer you have to be to get that macro magnification. So if you can afford a little bit longer macro lens, then that would be the way to go. Another nice thing about a macro lens, too, is usually the focal length range is right in they start kind of the short portrait to long portrait range as well, so you can also double it up and use it as a portrait lens. So that's a nice, I think, kind of a nice extra feature you get from there. Probably, I would suggest getting a tripod if you can put that in your budget. And there's a couple, even some of the low end ones from like Manfrotto or whatever, they have special legs that'll fold up. So you can get the camera really low to the ground for doing macro photography. So if you do things like outdoors or on tabletops, you know, they have little, you can adjust the tripod different ways, or you can take the middle rod out and make it shorter, or you can, some of the ones have, you can put the middle rod sideways and you can look down on stuff. So I'd look to that if you can get a really versatile tripod, that'll come in handy.
Most tripods are, you know, fairly inexpensive these days. So, I mean, I don't see why not. So,
yeah.
Ewan, bring us home.
The thing I would say to start off with is look on eBay, because there's a good chance you'll get a decent price lens that will be decent enough to do the job on eBay. There's a lot of lenses at the low end, particularly. I can do a 28 to 95. Five or a 28 to 90 millimeter one that's got a macro function with it, and it's really dirt cheap. You'll get a second hand one of those for about £50 on eBay, and that'll get you started. It's only 2-to-1 macro, 1-to-2 macro, so it's not going to be ideal. But look for the ratio as well. So if you've got one, that's relatively recent, check out on what the macro rating is. If you can, buy a 1-to-1 macro, because that'll mean you'll get twice as much at the same distance as a 1-to-2. But the ratio is the key things to look for with macro lenses, and the advice from the other guys is on the money. I mean, I hadn't thought about the harshness of the lighting, I've got to say.
Sweet deal, guys. Sweet deal. Thank you very much. Our last question for this week comes from Frank. He starts off by saying, hi. Hi, Frank. I recently listened to an episode where you were talking about sharpening of images, and I started having a go myself in Photoshop Elements. So far, I haven't got any images to look really clear when I blow them up to 100%. They still look soft and blurry. The original images are perhaps a little soft, too, but I thought that's what sharpening would help me with. I might go your route first, Ewan. I know you do a lot of sharpening and stuff in Photoshop and these kind of things, so we'll go the other way around.
I think you've got to look at what you're doing sharpening for. If you're using sharpening to recover an image, then I've got a bit of a problem with that because sharpening is used to make it look crisper for the output format that you're intending to use it for. So you would sharpen a lot more harshly for a web image than you would for a large print image. The idea of sharpening is that it's making a best guess of the pixels and rounding up the edges. It's finding edges effectively. Now, if you're still looking soft afterwards, you're not hardening the edges enough, and you're looking for a radius of the sharpening. So you'll give it a percentage of sharpen, which means the degree to which it crisps the image up, if you like, and then you give it a radius to which it looks for the edge. I would suggest if you're still getting, even if you've got quite high values of sharpening afterwards and it's still looking soft, increase your radius. But
okay.
That I, without a picture, I haven't got a clue.
Mm. Anything to add, Chris?
Yeah, not really. I mean, it's just like Ewan said. I mean, if you've got an image that's not really that great to begin with, sharpening's not going to help you very much. Well, if you have a slight blur, or your lens is a little soft, or you know, you can make it maybe bring it up a bit. And the other thing you said too is real important, is that sharpening is best applied once you've got the image ready for output. So if you've cropped it, or you're gonna shrink it down to go on the web, or you're gonna crop it to fit a 4x6 print or an 8x10 print or whatever. Once you've got it lined up that way, then you apply sharpening judiciously for that particular output.
Okay. You and so I can hear you having a...
I don't mean to come back on the question, because I know we try and have one bite of the cherry, but what I'm saying, what I think Chris has started on there, which I didn't finish off, was the smaller your output format, the more aggressive you can be with your sharpening, the bigger radiuses and the bigger percentages you can choose. If you've got a really big image, though, being aggressive with your sharpening will make it look terrible on the output if it's going to be to a big output format like a canvas or something like that. Mm. It'll just look crappy.
Sorry, Chris, go ahead and continue, or just top it off.
No, that's pretty much what I was trying to say. Yeah, so subtler. It's just like actually almost anything in Photoshop. The subtler the tweak, the more realistic it's going to look. So if you've got a really out of focus image and you try to crank the sharpening way up, it's going to look weird. It's never going to look quite right.
Right. All right. And Alex, anything?
Yeah, just a couple of quick things. Firstly, if you're looking at something on the screen and it's not as sharp as you want, I find, especially with Photoshop and Photoshop's elements, sometimes when you push things up to 100%, sometimes the screen doesn't handle it as well as you would hope it would. So sometimes things are a little bit sharper than you actually realize. And if you're actually going to print it, I really wouldn't worry too much, because you'll be amazed how much sharper something looks once you've printed it than when you look at it on the screen. And failing all that, if you still think the sharpening's not right, what I tend to do is I use selective sharpening. I only sharpen certain areas, and then you actually make an artistic license out of the image you've made. Sharpen eyes, sharpen a little bit around the hair, sharpen maybe a dark contrasty bit on the lapel, and add a little bit more contrast into the picture in general, and you'll find the picture actually gives the impression of some artistic sharpening, and it can really recover a picture that you thought was non-recoverable if you don't try and sharpen the whole picture as a whole. So play around that way.
Okay. Yeah, good idea. Yeah, but you're right about that, Alex. Sometimes when printing, I've actually done that before. When you print something off, it comes out a lot sharper than you ever thought it would. And when you blast that sharpening on it on Photoshop, it looks like crap.
Exactly.
And there's Skype.
We got to start the show earlier.
It's not my fault, man.
Song's so catchy.
It is. It's a great song.
I have no idea who's frigging calling in. Just finish it.
Okay. Well, if you want to send in your questions via Gmail, it's bengaltechradio@gmail.com. You can Skype us as well. That's what somebody else is trying to do right now. BigOldTechPhoto@gmail.com. Get your questions. We will get to them. Skype or not in the way, we will get to them. Of course, all of this is brought to you by our fine folks over there at UK2.net. They keep the Big Old Tech Network really alive. They keep us afloat so we can do this free each and every week for you guys. And Ewan, I've been out of the loop for a couple of weeks now. Is there anything that's going on Christmas time? Anything yet over at UK2?
No, standard stuff. Bagel Tech is your offer code for 15% off, and Bagel DNS will get you the domain management charge taken off completely. But support them, please, because they suck up all our bandwidth.
For us. Yeah. I don't even want to think about how much bandwidth we're going to. Well, and Echo's going to be on today, so that'll be fun for nice Christmas present for them. If you're going to do that, please, BagelTechNews.com is the place to do it. Use the click-through over there so that way they know we are sending you. Thank you, folks, over there at UK2.net. Guys, that brings us to the close of this week's episode of Bagel Tech Photo. Thank you all for coming in. I'm glad I didn't screw up too much this week where you can make fun of me.
I will manage it. I hope not.
Alex, where can we get a hold of you?
Alex G. Fox on Twitter.
And twitterything.com.
That'll do.
Don't forget that. That's the coolest thing. Chris, where can we get a hold of you except when looking for bras for Oprah?
Why can't you get a hold of me for that? I don't understand. I'm a regular contributor at Ars Technica, so you can find me there at arstechnica.com. Maybe you would enjoy my feature about the iPhone 4S replacing your point-and-shoot camera.
Oh my.
I don't know if you even caught that or not, but I'm also on Twitter at ForzMac, so you can bug me there, and if you're nice, I might bug you back.
Yeah, he usually does, particularly if he's a little tipsy at 3:30 in the morning.
It could happen.
We love you, Chris. And Ewan, where can we get all of you?
You can get me for commercial photography work at ewanrankin.co.uk or babykiller.com. And you can get me at on Twitter at Bagel Tech Photo or Bagel Tech Photo, Bagel Tech News, or Ewan Rankin. There we go.
Oh, God. I thought I was going to get through this show without laughing. Thank you, mate. Appreciate that.
Rawlover.com as well. I've just registered there.
He likes it raw, people. He likes it raw. I'm Kyle Swagger. You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Swagger at KyleSwagger.com. We hope and pray that you will come back next week. We're crossing our fingers and our toes and our eyes. We'll see you next week. Thanks for tuning in. Bagel Tech Photo.
Bandwidth and hosting for Bagel Tech Photo is provided by UK2.net. Web hosting for everyone.